Good afternoon, everybody. This is Greg Evenson, and I'm coming to you from Voices from the Heartland on Republic Broadcasting. It's good to be with you another week. Just in case you thought you were exercising your First Amendment rights and of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition your government, free from harassment and interference, well, you better think again. As you might imagine, the FBI, along with other domestic intelligence agencies, were taking a look at you as you protested nationwide during last week's demonstrations as part of the Tea Party event. It is a covert program conducted without the knowledge of local law enforcement, and according to an FBI agent, whose name is withheld, obviously, to protect him and his career, he said the Department of Homeland Security intelligence assessment that is receiving so much attention is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg, and not the true and the true patriotic citizens of this country are on the Titanic. And he said, this is what bothers me, but it goes far beyond that assessment. There have been very significant changes made over the last few years that redirect the focus and assets of the intelligence community internally. These changes have greatly accelerated under this administration, no surprise, and the threats have been redefined to include those who used to be patriots. It's not only chilling, but absolutely insulting to God-fearing Americans, he says. He also claims that a single-page FBI directive was dispatched from FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. on March 23rd, requesting that special agents in charge verify the date, time, and location of each Tea Party within their region and supply that information to FBI headquarters in Washington. Agents were then instructed to compile information on the organizers of the different protests and also send the information back to FBI headquarters. On April 6th, they were subsequently asked to conduct covert surveillance and data collection on all of the protesters attending the Tea Party demonstration. Surveillance was to be performed from discrete, fixed, or mobile positions and was to be performed independently and outside of the purview of local law enforcement. Although the level of detail collected from each operation is unclear at this point, the information was reportedly submitted to Washington, where at the level of the National Security Branch, this information was to include the Office of the Directorate of Intelligence and integrated with a restricted access database, fusion centers, among those, one that reportedly is accessible to only two agencies of the 14 that comprise U.S. intelligence. The implications to the citizens of the U.S. are ominous. It seems that there is a hostile political agenda coming from Washington, he continues, that characterizes the supporters of our constitutional freedoms as threats to our domestic security, which is absolutely absurd. The redirection, the refocusing of domestic threats from Al-Qaeda calls to flag-waving, or Al-Qaeda cells, rather, to flag-waving right-wingers is something that has gone from a murmur a few years ago to a roar today. The notion that the FBI would be conducting covert surveillance and building databases on attendees of the Tea Party protests is thoroughly disturbing, if not unsurprising. Indeed, before any major political event, the FBI prosecutes aggressive surveillance of political groups to the point of harassment and beyond. So don't be surprised if your name has now been added to the great Google list of traitors to this nation under the guise of you being a patriot. I can tell you that this whole operation, ladies and gentlemen, wherever it's coming from, is so vast and is accelerating so quickly, it will boggle your mind. Special guest Don Rogers today, former California Senator, will be joining us shortly. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Well, thanks for joining in today. We've got a good program scheduled for you. In the weeks to come, I'm going to be very delighted to have next week, as a matter of fact, on our May 2nd show, will be Sheriff Richard Mack. Richard has become a good friend over the last several years, and he is out doing the job that only he can do as a former sheriff. He'll be an exciting guest, and you will not want to miss that. That is next Saturday, coming to Voices from the Heartland. I want to just make this brief announcement. As you know, I have over the period of the times I've been on the air, and that is to let you know that we do have some products here that help us help you. And what do I mean by that? Well, every time you purchase one of our products, it makes available information. It makes available my ability to go out and see you. It's got to come from someplace, folks. I've exhausted most of my resources, and we just keep doing. And so when you help, it helps us, and it helps a lot of other folks. Our website at www.theheartlandusa.com lists them. You can pay by personal check or money order. You can pay through PayPal. We have not only our recordings, the book, The Sovereignty Papers, and some inspirational CDs there, but also the T-shirts. We still have some available. And so you, just if you feel the need and would like to help us out, we would certainly appreciate it. And they are at the absolute lowest costs there ever be. It is virtually just above our cost. We just like to recoup our investment out of it and put it right back into the effort. So please do that if you can and help us out. Senator Don Rogers, what a hero. What a guy that is one of those that you may or may not have heard of former Senator Rogers, But let me read just a little bit of his bio for you. This is a stand-up guy, folks. Don Rogers, who is a Republican, a former state California state senator, was elected in November 1986 to represent the people of the 16th Senate District in the California legislature. Prior to that, Don had served 8 years in the California legislature as an assemblyman representing the 33rd Assembly District. Don is a registered geologist in the state of California. He is a member of the Future Farmers of America. What a group. I had several friends in that when I was younger, a tremendous organization. Gun Owners of California, Kern County Farm Bureau, Kings County Farm Bureau, and so forth, and the San Joaquin Geological Society. He holds a commercial pilot license and is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. And of real interest, and I know Don's going to talk about this in just a few minutes, he was the gentleman who wrote the initiative and led the campaign to abolish the California state inheritance and gift taxes. The initiative qualified for the ballot, and in June of 1982, the two taxes were abolished by a 65% vote of the people. Imagine that. They were really ready to get rid of that. From 1982 to roughly the present, eliminating these two taxes has saved California families over, get this now, $50 billion, with a B, $50 billion. What a tremendous effort, and there's a little story that goes with that. I'm not going to ruin it or try to retell it. I'm sure Don will in just a couple of minutes as he reaches the airwaves here, but it is a tremendous story. Don is one of the few at that California level that was just right there in the midst of it, doing the right things at the right time for the right people for the right reasons. And you just don't find him any better than that. I'm just sorry to say that, unfortunately, we have to put former in front of his name. But he certainly did his part and paid dearly each day with carrying that load for everyone. Look, folks, I want to say this as Don is coming on the air here in just a moment. Over the next 6 months, law enforcement and the military will be given unlawful and illegal orders. I believe this is coming through several very, very high-level sources. To round up, it's coming. The effort to silence the patriots of this nation, I believe, is down on a clock to roughly 6 months. Now, there's always a danger with this, as I said it before. We take the best information from the best sources and get it out to you in a way that gives you the information you need to have. You determine what your level of preparation is. I don't have a crystal ball. I am not a prophet. So I cannot tell you at this point that I see it happening. I'm telling you that the reports are there coming in from all levels, from all directions. And I believe that because of what happened during these Tea Party demonstrations, the fact that people's faces were photographed, their license plate information taken, so forth. Look, consider the ramifications of this. Since coming to office, the Obama administration has devoted massive amounts of money and federal intelligence agency assets to identifying gun owners, those in the military and former military who still love this country and take their oaths seriously. Former combat veterans especially are at great risk here. Special Forces, Green Berets, Delta Team, Special Operations, Force Recon, Rangers. Anybody in that category has got to heighten your level of awareness and security. Department of Homeland Security has identified all of us as a danger to their regime. And what is coming, I think, will finally, ultimately, and tragically validate where everything is going. Now, I'm going to withhold anything more at this point because we're still putting some information together. At the time that I have it and that it is as good as we can possibly verify it to be, I will give you additional information. What I want you to do, folks, is continue your preparations. Do not let up. Just because the stock market takes a 200-point uptick, that's not a recovery. Because we haven't had a terror cell event here recently, doesn't mean that the danger has suddenly gone away. You must continue. It's up to you. We can't say or do anymore. I can't tell you how weary I am of talking to people on the phone and writing thousands of emails to people, telling them what to do because they don't have a clue. They can't figure it out. So all of this is to tell you one more time, please be ready. Alex, have we got Don yet? Okay, well, he should be calling in shortly, and I know he will do that. And oh, he did. Okay, well, I'm going to pass it on then. And folks, I apologize here. Alex and I are having a little discussion. I don't know if you hear Alex's voice, but you hear me talking to him. Drew Raines, my very good friend from Arkansas, has said that he has received permission from his sources. Last week we mentioned that there was an event that was taking place that we were not going to disclose at that time because we did not want to do any potential damage or harm to the effort to get this underway. And Drew had a high-level contact within this whole operation. And I'm going to tell you that the good people of Montana, this is the event that I was talking about last week, the good folks in Montana have been pursuing and are working on the detailed apparatus right now, the machinery, to go ahead and secede from the United States. They are making that effort right now to finalize that, to get that completed, and to actually take the state of Montana out of the Union. Now, I couldn't applaud them anymore. I couldn't be behind them anymore because of what they have been doing. You know, it is sensitive, of course, and I don't think there's a blessed thing that anybody in Washington can do about it, unlike 150 years ago when this was brewing in the United States during the first so-called Civil War, the War for Southern Independence, the War of Northern Aggression. And what is also happening at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, is that the province of Alberta, the Canadian province of Alberta, Canada, is at the same time pursuing within their venues, within their provincial government, to secede from the Dominion of Canada, so that the possibility now stands that the state of Montana and the province of Alberta, Canada, are working out the possibility of joining as a separate nation and pursuing the interests common to their peoples that will free those Canadian citizens from a socialist disaster in Canada, that Ottawa will no longer have control. That would be a wonderful thing. Washington would have no longer any control. That would be a wonderful thing. And if this effort, if these combined efforts are successful, it would be a thunderbolt to people within our country, our respective countries, as well as the governments, that this is happening. And my word, what a turn in history. It might just throw open the doors of the possibility of doing something to actually really truly get this republic back on a good course. And because of that, we had withheld because they were still at a point where we just wanted to make sure from those sources within both of those locales that we were not going to derail something, rather, unfortunately, that we're just trying to get the word out to you. So we will follow that as closely as possible. Probably, if this goes the way it looks like it's going to go, it's going to be something for the entire nation, and indeed the northern North American continent to look at. And it just may throw a wrench in the works of the North American Union crowd, who have so long desired to make this region another one for the Illuminati. And I tell you, I can't give enough kudos to the folks in Montana and to Alberta, Canada. And if these reports are able to be completed and they do, in fact, they reach success, what a tremendous milestone that will be in throwing a huge, huge bomb into the middle of this takeover attempt by the Obama administration and those in the world government that want to see us finally, finally taken down. Well, with that said, and we'll let that sit on your tabletops for a while. We're going to invite your calls in a little while. Don Rogers is coming on the air now. And, Don, we gave you a nice introduction just a few minutes ago. Thanks, and welcome to Voices.
Dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
Well, no, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
And thanks for staying with us. I apologize, I didn't hear the bumper music there, so I think I kind of trailed off into nothing. But I just wanted to tell you that all the great efforts out west are very much appreciated, and we will follow it as closely as we can. We do have on the line with us our wonderful featured guest this morning, and I just can't wait to talk to him. He is a man of great character, and it's an honor for me to welcome him to the program. Former Senator Don Rogers from California, welcome to Voices from the Heartland.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Thanks very much. And listen, I'm honored to be on your program and to be on RBN.
Oh, you're such a great guy, such a gentleman. I just said I'm sorry to say that we have to say former, but you sure left a footprint out in California, Don.
Well, thank you very much. I was term limited out. I ran 9 campaigns. I don't mean to sound immodest, but I did, counting the Bakersfield City Council and then the legislature in California. 9 elections. I won all of them, but I had a lot of help from a lot of great people out here in California. And
well,
then they passed an initiative that put a limit on terms that you could serve. But I was up there 18 years, and let me tell you, that was long enough. I was ready to get back into the real world.
Well, I imagine you probably were, Don. From your perspective, and I don't know that it's not an obvious answer, but what do you think of the term limit situation? Is that appropriate?
Well, you know, it is long, and I remember one of the founding fathers said that our system will only work if you have an informed, moral electorate. In other words, people voting who are informed and are moral. it won't work otherwise. And what has happened through the years, the people, unfortunately, the voters, the majority of them, have not kept themselves well informed, and our morals have kind of gone downhill. So that was the problem we had in California. We had, I don't know if you remember, a man named Willie Brown, Speaker of the Assembly.
Yes. San Francisco mayor.
And Willie's an interesting guy, extremely bright, but he was in that position for many, many years, and there was some abuse going on, nothing that was ever proved to be illegal, but there was abuse. So as a reaction to that, the people passed that initiative. Now, the founding fathers, Greg, when they wrote the Constitution, they put in a term limitation provision in the Constitution.
Yes.
It's called an election.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, but unfortunately, through the years, it hasn't been effective. So that's why the people, personally, if we had a moral informed electorate, I would be opposed to term limitations for this reason. If the people from a district have someone in office that's doing a good job, that's, has a good constitutional foundation, good political philosophy based on the Constitution, why not let the people reelect that person as long as they want to?
Sure.
Whenever he gets out of step, they can unelect them at the next election. So really, term limits is really not a good idea unless it's being the people of the in office are abusing what they're doing and not doing a good job for the people.
Don, does California have a recall position in its state constitution to get someone out before the end of their limit or term rather?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And it happened just recently when a man named Gray Davis was elected governor, and then he didn't, stay with his campaign promises. He flip-flopped on some things, and the people got upset, and he was recalled, and then Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected in his place. So, yes.
Well,
we do have a recall system out here.
That's right. Now, I should have remembered that. Thanks for bringing that out, because it just completely went by my mind. Don, these are maybe obvious questions or maybe obvious to you and me when we're discussing these things, but maybe not to our general listening audience. We have a lot of folks out here across the country listening today. And if you could give, just before our 12:30 break here, just give a quick idea. What is the direction of the current California state government? It may be obvious to some, but maybe not to others. Where are they going?
Well, they're going, unfortunately, Greg, they're going in the wrong direction. They're kind of following along with what's happening on the national level, which is increased taxation, more government control. The only area growing in job increases out here in California is state government. Everything else, they're cutting back. People are being laid off. They're losing their jobs. But let me tell you, state government is still hiring more and more people. They're spending more and more money, so it's going in the wrong direction.
Well, clearly, and what we see from the outside is that California, as the saying goes, kind of sets the trend for some of the other states. I hope the other states don't pick up on that. But what I'm seeing from Governor Schwarzenegger is not really... it just doesn't seem to be leadership. It just seems to be whatever is good for right at the moment, he's kind of getting on the bandwagon with.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. Your analysis is very, very on target, Greg. When he first campaigned and first elected, he said he's going to come to Sacramento, and he was going to blow up these boxes, these bureaucracies, and get the spending down. Get a balanced budget. None of that's happened.
Don, hold on to that, because I do hear the music this time. I want to make sure we got a good lead out. Just hold that thought. We want to take up when we get back to this. Former Senator Don Rogers from California, our guest today on Voice from the Heartland. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
The new world order beast is genetically modifying your food. Genetically modifying. Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses. Viruses. Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender. Surrender. All canned food supplies will eventually run out. What then? Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company. And it's owned by a real patriot, Big John Lipscomb. You can now have an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
When you build your own firearm, you build confidence.
KT Ordnance offers the best ATF-approved 80% kits that can be made into firearms.
And when you build your own firearm,
you know it inside and out.
You know how it fires.
You take pride in ownership. Head to KTOrdnance.com for a great father-son or father-daughter firearm build, like the .45 caliber KT-1911, or choose the .50 caliber KTP-50 that fires a 275-grain bullet for pure stopping power. KT Ordnance's kits are fully legal, ATF-approved, 80% firearm kits with no serial numbers, no background check, and no government 4473 forms to fill out. Go to ktordnance.com and get yours today. That's ktordnance.com. ktordnance.com. Building your own firearm is fun, and you acquire useful skills,
especially at times like these.
Remember, when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. KT Ordnance also accepts gold and silver payments. Visit ktordnance.com today.
Thanks for the encouragement, Richard, out of KT Ordnance. I appreciate you and all that you're doing for all of your customers and clients. Tremendous product. Folks, please get a hold of these people. Check their website and do what you can to do some business with those folks. Don, welcome to Voice from the Heartland again. You know, we were talking just before the break about the direction of California government, and a California government really, although it may lead in some areas, is basically in the same situation as many of our states. They're in deep deficits and debt. They're running up huge amounts of money that they cannot pay. There are no longer any reasonable, and when I say reasonable, I mean in literally in that term, sources of income to stop this hemorrhaging of the spending of tax dollars, not only in California, but many in my own state here of Michigan. We're just bleeding to death from not having any revenue, any taxation base left. What is ahead for California? Then we're gonna switch to another topic here. What is on the horizon, Don, for California with this huge deficit they've got? No way to pay it, and the Democratic controlled state government wanting to spend more and more and more of what they don't have. Where is this leading?
Well, Greg, it's leading in the wrong direction, definitely. And unfortunately, California, although maybe not as bad off as Michigan, is still they're going in the wrong direction. And they've got this huge deficit, which means government is spending more than they're taking in. Well, unfortunately, the politicians, the elected officials in Sacramento, including the governor, instead of really cutting back on their spending, they're out there frantically trying to figure out new ways to get more revenue out of the people. And I don't mean to indict all of the members of the California legislature. There's probably a half a dozen, maybe, that are on the right track, but they're in a very much minority. But you can't spend your way out of debt. You can't borrow your way out of a complete deficit. You can't do it. The only answer and the only way to keep government under control is to give them less money. And I mean that on the city, county, state, or federal level. The only way to control them is to give them less money. This is why I tell people, and I was up there 18 years, I never voted for one tax increase or fee increase or assessment increase. I voted for none of that. In fact, they call me Senator No because I voted against all of those things.
Don, you've got to tell the story that you shared with me the other day about how this a bill in regard to estate taxes evolved, what you did, your role in it, and what happened several years later that was really a kicker on this one.
Yeah, well, thank you and for mentioning that, Greg. When I was first decided, and incidentally, I was a kind of a reluctant candidate. I had some businessmen that came to me and asked me to run for office, and I told them, no, I've got a good job. My kids were doing well in school. I just moved into a new house. I said, no, I don't want to get involved in all this controversy. And they kept hounding me for probably 3 weeks or a month. Every time I opened the front door, they were standing on my front doorstep saying, Don, you got to run. This is for city council office. And I said, no. And no, finally I said, okay, you know, I'll run. So I thought if I'm going to run, I might as well win. So I ran against a six-year incumbent. The reason that I did it was because he had voted for a utility tax to be put on the people in the city of Bakersfield, which is a tax on your telephone, your water, your lights, your gas, electricity, everything, and the city did not need the money. They had plenty of revenue. They didn't need it, but here they saw a way to get more money for whatever. Anyway, so I ran and won, and I campaigned on that one issue. That, look, if you elect Don Rogers, he's going to get rid of the utility tax. And I was going around, I covered every house in my ward and gave him a little piece of paper saying, you elect me, I'll get rid of the utility tax. So I won with the help of a lot of people, really. I didn't do it all by myself. And the first meeting of the city council after I was elected, I did a little lobbying beforehand. There were seven members, and I lobbied the other members. And I made a motion on the first meeting that I attended as a council member to abolish the city utility tax in the city of Bakersfield, and it passed. My motion passed unanimously.
Wow!
There's no utility tax in the city of Bakersfield. I don't think there ever will be. But I point this out to say that really, if you talk to the people are right. They know what's best for themselves, and I campaigned on that one issue of getting rid of the utility tax. Well, then when I was there for 6 years and then the assembly seat came open in the state legislature, these same business people came back to me and said, Don, you've done a good job on the city council. You've got to run for the assembly, for the legislature in Sacramento. I said, no, I don't want to. I said, look, I don't want to go to Sacramento. I like it here where I'm living, and my kids were all doing great in school, and so I said no. But anyway, they pounded and pounded, and finally I said, okay, I'll run. Anyway, and as I campaigned in my district, everywhere I went, people would come to me after I'd make a speech and say, Don, if you get to Sacramento, look at this one tax. It's the most terrible, unfair tax that we have. And they were talking about the state inheritance and gift tax. And I said, well, okay, I'll take a look at it and I'll see what I can do. So after I was elected, the first bill I introduced was to get rid of the California inheritance and gift tax. And boy, I tell you, it raised a lot of storm, even in my own Republican members. They said, Don, you know, this has been tried before, you know. You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to just embarrass us, you know. You're foolish. Well, I said, maybe so, but I said, I promised and I'm going to give it a try. So I walked across the street and put the bill on the desk, across the desk, and that was my first bill. Of course, the committee, the Assembly Revenue and Taxation Committee, made up of a majority of big spending Democrats, killed the bill immediately. Then next year, I introduced it again. They killed it immediately. And I said, well, you know, this is not working. So we have an initiative process in California where if you get enough registered voter signatures, you can place an issue on the ballot and let the people vote on it. So with a lot of help, I wrote an initiative that would stand muster and be constitutional. And formed a committee in all 58 counties of California, and we started collecting signatures. And the way it works is whenever you come out with your summary of your initiative, you have 150 days. You have 150 days, 5 months, to collect the number of signatures. We needed 473,000 registered voter signatures to get it on the ballot. That's in five. We had 5 months to do it. In 4 months, Greg, we collected over 1 million signatures and did not buy one signature. It was all voluntary.
Oh, my.
We had people, you know, we put up these little card tables in front of the food stores, and we had people standing 20 and 30 deep just to get to that petition to sign it. You know, now you go to a food store and you got somebody out there, they have to grab you by the arm and talk to you into signing a petition. We had people that couldn't wait to get there. And in other words, in 4 months, we collected 1 million signatures. We got it on the ballot. And in June of 1982, the people voted to get rid of these two taxes 2-1. 65% of the people voted to get rid of these two taxes. And since 1982, getting rid of these two taxes have saved California families over $50 billion.
Now, Don, it seemed like it was going to be forever, and then tell the little PS story to this of what happened.
Well,
after that,
you know, I knew the big spenders in Sacramento were going to figure out some way to try to reimpose this tax. So that's why I was careful in the way that I wrote the initiative, and I had some help from some good people who were familiar with the state law and taxes. It was only 4 years. Now, that was 1982. We got rid of the tax. In 1986, I heard that the Senate Revenue and Taxation Committee, they were looking for new taxation, new ways to raise taxes, increase taxes. And I heard about it, so I called the committee consultant. And his name, the guy named Martin Helmke. I said, Martin, I understand your committee members are looking at reimposing the inheritance and gift tax. He said, yes, Senator, that's right. Sir, we're looking at a lot of different things, but that's one of the things the committee's considering. I said, well, Martin, let me suggest something to you. You pull out, it was a statute, because it was now law, the initiative that I wrote was now law. I said, you pull out the statute and read it, because I wrote it and I put a clause in there that says this. The only way these taxes can be reimposed is by a majority vote of the people in a general election. And there was a dead silence, Greg, on the other end of the line for about 5 or 10 seconds. And then he said, oh, Senator, you know, I remember you're right. You know, I remember you're right. I heard the next day it had been taken off the table. There'll never be an inheritance and gift tax in California, because no way will the people ever vote it back on themselves.
Don, it's because of good men of character like yourself and people who know what is good for the people. Not only was that part of your success, your overwhelming success, but it has the fruit of your efforts is still flourishing, because clearly the people know that that is a repressive, horrible tax. You're being taxed again after you've already been taxed, and for what purpose? You can't ever outline or describe these horrible things that they're doing with the tax dollars in the first place. But what it brings down, and so I say, even after this many years, congratulations, it was a job well done.
Well, thank you very much, and you know, you're absolutely right. A lot of people don't realize, but everything that a person or a family or a couple have accumulated, they've already paid taxes on everything. It's been fully taxed once. And then just because, say, in the case of a couple, the husband dies, the widow inherits his half of the estate, and immediately they're taxed on that. It may be a farm or a ranch or a dairy or something like that, or a business, and it you know, may be worth a fair amount of money and assessed a high amount of money, but there's maybe no cash available to pay this huge tax. So what do they have to do? They have to sell part of the ranch or sell part of the business or sell part of the farm or something. And that is so unfair. And let me tell you, the tax collector's knocking on the door sometimes before the funeral's over, trying to collect that huge tax on these people. So anyway, it's a horrible tax, as you point out, and I'm glad we got rid of it.
Well, not only was that a real milestone, Don, but also I'm looking here in the record, April 13th, 1994, just 2 days before the infamous tax day, and I see that a certain Senator Don Rogers introduced into the legislative process the California 10th Amendment Resolution. Now, we've heard so much, Don, in the last few weeks and months about various states all of a sudden coming up with this novel idea of reasserting their 10th Amendment rights. And back in 1994, you'd already crossed that ground, hadn't you?
Well, yeah. Thanks again, Greg, for bringing that up and mentioning it. Yes, back in 1994, there was a state senator named Charlie Duke, Charles Duke of Colorado, and he's the one that really started the movement, and he came to California. He got it passed in Colorado, by the way, and he came to California and helped me in getting it passed in the state of California. And, yes, we had it, and I was amazed because, you know, California, even then, both houses were controlled by Democrats. It was essentially a very liberal legislature, yet I got a lot of Democrat co-authors on this 10th Amendment resolution because at that time, in 1994, they recognized that the federal government was being very intrusive and going way beyond their bounds of the Constitution, and so they co-authored the bill with me, and I got it passed in both houses, and fortunately, on the resolution, in most cases, the governor does not have to sign a resolution for it to become effective. So I got it through both houses, and it's still in effect. It's still part of the statute of the state of California, a 10th Amendment resolution in California. It's still there.
Don, do you think that given the current state of national affairs and economics in this nation, is there a possibility that California, because of its bent towards constantly going with that which the people don't want, is there any possibility that maybe they will, in fact, exercise those rights that were enumerated in your bill?
I hope so.
Sure.
And let me tell you, I'm encouraged because there are now, my estimate is there's probably 25 or 30 states. Many of them have also passed a 10th Amendment resolution. A lot of them have passed just a resolution stating or reaffirming their state sovereignty. But there's probably 25 or 30 states that either have done it or are working on getting a similar resolution passed. So I'm encouraged, you know, because I think there are a lot of state. And let me mention this, Greg. I think Washington, D.C. is a lost cause.
Mm.
Now, I don't mean to indict all of them. There's probably a dozen good elected officials in Washington, D.C., but there's no way you're going to get anything decent through the present makeup of the Congress.
That's
so
right.
I think our answer is to work on the states, just as you mentioned. Yeah, get the state legislators to stand up, get a little backbone, reaffirm the 10th Amendment, which says all powers not given to the federal government or retained by the states and the people.
That's right.
So, you know, if they'll just do that, and I'm working with a man named Charles Key out of Oklahoma. Incidentally, he just got it passed in Oklahoma. We're working to get more and more state legislators to introduce resolutions, 10th Amendment resolutions or sovereignty resolutions, and if we can get more and more of them to do it, hopefully we then can kind of turn the tide and get the back to our constitutional roots and get the federal government out of the states where they're not entitled or constitutionally entitled to be.
Don, when we return here in just a moment, we're coming up on a break here pretty quick. I want to talk about the state of affairs of the Second Amendment and gun ownership in California, and then I want to move on to this breaking story about Montana. I don't know if you heard me mention that just before you came on.
Yes, I did.
It's quite a story that's evolving, and I want to get your take on it. And I know that you believe just 100% in Second Amendment rights, so I want to pursue that when we come back, especially someone from California. Folks, we'll be right back. Special guest today, very special guest, Don from California, and Don Rogers is a former California senator. We'll be back in just a moment. Voices from the Heartland will continue.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saul Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And a very, very special greeting today to all my good friends and listeners in the Keweenaw Peninsula in Upper Michigan and the Marquette area and Sault Ste. Marie and St. Ignace. And we've just got a great crew across the Upper Peninsula. I'm very proud of all of them. And Don Rogers, our special guest today, former California State Senator, a great man of the people. I can't tell you the more I've talked to Don and a couple of our mutual good friends who just have the utmost respect for you, Don, and appreciation. I'm going to tell you that appreciation is still very acute. They just because you've been out of the out of the state government for a while does not reduce your contribution, a long-lasting, very, very important, very vital contribution to the state of California. And thanks again for all that you did.
Well, thank you, Greg, for the kind words. And by the way, I've got a soft spot in my heart for the Upper Peninsula in Michigan also. My sister-in-law is from Upper Peninsula, and also one of my close buddies in the Marine Corps, Fritz Kolesky, also was from the Upper Peninsula. So I have a lot of fine regard for those folks up there.
Well, thank you very much. Well, they're good folks, just like everybody else. Most of them are very concerned about the direction of our nation and very, very concerned that we do something to get it back on track. Don, I know you're a believer in self-defense. I know that you believe in the right of people to keep and bear arms. I know that I believe that you also are of the viewpoint that it really isn't so much a Second Amendment issue or even a state protectorate of the rights of people to keep and bear arms. It is a natural right of people to hold that defense for themselves and for their families and their property. And if I haven't misquoted you on that, I would simply ask you to say, again, where are things in California? Then we're going to branch out. We'll just ask you for a brief comment about that. And then we're going to talk just a moment or two about what the effect is across the nation here.
Okay, well, and you're right. I am a strong supporter of our not only the Second Amendment rights, but all 10 amendments.
Yes.
And let's remember, those amendments were put into the Constitution by our founding fathers, you know, especially a guy named Patrick Henry, one of my heroes. And these are God-given rights. They don't come from government or other people or politicians. They come from God.
Yes.
And the right to protect yourself and your home and your family is a God-given right. It cannot be amended. It cannot be taken away. But here in California, fortunately, we still have that, the Second Amendment rights, and we've got a very active group out here, Gun Owners of America, who are very, very active, and so far, the people have been able to maintain those Second Amendment rights, and hopefully we can continue to do that. Now, you know, nobody wants to get into a shooting confrontation with the government. We want to do this peacefully. That's the way to do it, just to maintain these rights peacefully and let government know, you know, we've got these rights and hopefully prevent any altercations or anything like that. We all want to do it peacefully. But by golly, when it comes down to it, we don't want to give up our God-given rights.
Don, you couldn't have been put any better. We are up against the 1 o'clock time. We'll have you into the next hour. And, folks, a great conversation today with our good friend Don Rogers. Don't go away. More to come and a lot more discussion about these other issues. We'll be right back.
With recent